This is interview number one with Baylen Mason for the Rosie the Riveter Revisited project. Interview conducted in her home on Friday, February 6, 1981. Interviewer is Sherna Gluck.
What I'd like to do... Do you mind if I call you Baylen?
Oh, no, go right ahead.
What I'd like to do... Is that how you pronounce it?
Bella.
You start with your family background, and I'm wondering, beginning with your own grandparents, if you know mm-hmm. anything about them, and mm-hmm. if you remember mm-hmm. anything about them or stories mm-hmm. that were mm-hmm. told mm-hmm. to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, on my dad's side, he was a Navajo Indian, and his father was killed when he was 3 days old.
Yeah.
Well, he used to work nights back in New Mexico. He was Navajo Indian. Mm-hmm. And there were villages then. I mean, it just stayed as new. So there was a dance. And my grandmother was, she was still in bed with my dad being born. So he asked her if she was home. He says, yeah, let's go and get me something to eat. They didn't have restaurants, but they had homes where they used to cook food and mm-hmm. sell food, especially mm-hmm. when there was a dance on the weekend. So he went. He was coming back, and the shooting started. You know, way back in those 19. My dad was born in 1888. So I believe it was just the West was really wild at that time. So I don't know. One of the somebody. Shoot, and the bullet must have ricocheted him, and it hit him right in the back of his head, and he died instantly. Of course, I don't know what happened. My dad was so little, I mean, he was just 3 days old, and they didn't tell him very much about that.
How did how did his mother then manage to survive after he died?
Well, she stayed in there, and I don't know if she managed to wash people's clothes and all that. Cool.
Where in New Mexico was it? Were they on in a small town?
Well, there were villages at that time. There were villages. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were villages. And in fact, the village where my father was born, it's a ghost town. Where I was born is a ghost town.
What's the name of it?
Georgetown, New Mexico. And where I was born is Fierro, New Mexico. It was a mining town at that time. I was there last month. I was there a month, and it's beautiful. It's like, it's wilderness
mm-hmm.
with beautiful trees. Now I think they're going to ruin the whole thing because now they're drilling before it was mining.
Mm-hmm.
But still we had down on the plateau, yeah. And then the mines were way up in the wilderness. But now they're coming down also where there was a little town. They're digging for metals. So all the wilderness will be, I mean, we won't have any beautiful places anymore. So that's where
I thought.
Mm-hmm. That's where he was raised. And then he didn't go to school very much. Mm-hmm. He just went up to the fifth grade or sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
He learned was from the University of Hard Knocks. And so when he was old enough, he used to be a water boy. I think he must have been around 8 years old. And he used to take water to the miners. So he kept on doing his little chores, taking water to the miners. That would help my grandmother.
I see. How many children were there?
Let's see. There was my dad, my Aunt Tina, my Aunt Rose, my Aunt Mary, my Uncle Pete, and I think there were eight
mm-hmm.
altogether. Mm-hmm. And finally my dad grew up and he was 12 years old and he went to work in the mines. And he worked in the mines and then he helped my grandmother. And my grandmother decided that she was going to wanted to get married again, and my dad was already about 18 years old. He was not very much against it because he was supporting her and doing the best he could. and she didn't realize at the time. So he said, okay, you can get married, but his sister was already married, one of his sisters. And he went to live with his sister, paid his room and board, and kept on working. Then he decided to get married. And the girl that he was in love with, she was a white girl.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as they found out that he was Indian, they were from New York. Why, they moved back to New York.
And where was his, when he moved in with his sister, was that a different town?
No, the same area.
Okay.
The same area. So at that time, on the rebound, he met my mother. But my mother was from a wealthy Spanish family. See? And, he tried his best to marry my mother, which eventually he did. And her family disowned her for getting married an Indian boy.
Now, how old was he then when he married?
He was 22. My mother was 20.
And do you know how they met?
Dances, because they used to dance a lot, and they used to have a lot of dances and... And baseball games were the recreation.
Uh-huh.
That's all they had.
And at the time he met her, what was he doing then?
Miner.
He was
a miner. Right,
uh-huh.
A miner.
Were these silver mines?
No, these were coal mines. Not then in New Mexico, they don't have that many coal mines. It was zinc and copper and all that.
Minerals.
Uh-huh, minerals, right. Mm-hmm.
And he met your mother in this same town?
Mm-hmm, the same town.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
why don't we back up and tell me a little bit about her family then? That's rather interesting what happened there.
Well, she's Spaniard.
Mm-hmm.
How far
back did they go in New Mexico, her family, do you know?
Oh, I think they go from way back when it was under Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Because, in fact, I just bought a book, Chihuahua 1916. And that's what sometimes books don't tell the truth. See, they don't get the right people. Of course, so many are dead. Because
mm-hmm.
after I'm gone, my family, my children, nobody will know anything about that era.
Mm-hmm.
So my grandfather on her side, on my mama's side, he was one of the wealthiest men in Chihuahua. When Pancho Villa went over in the revolution where he was, they tried to break him because
mm-hmm.
the Spaniards were having that now is a Mexican race. They were... See, the Spaniards were prejudiced, and any girl that married out of her race was disowned, and they didn't have no use for the grandchildren. See, because they were mixed.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the Mexican race
mm-hmm.
come up, the mixture right there. So then he married my mother, and my mother was willing to give up everything.
So her father, your grandfather,
mm-hmm.
was from an old Spanish New Mexico
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
family. When did they come into New Mexico, do you know, from Chihuahua?
Oh, all that territory was under Spain for almost since the 1500s. So when the United States started going in, why, that's when they built them. In fact, there's rumors that Pancho Villa was set in there by United States.
Mm-hmm.
By President Wilson was in that era.
Mm-hmm.
See, but of course you can't prove it, but my mother knows quite a bit, but she's 91 years old now.
She's still alive.
Oh, yes, she's very much so. But we've been having trouble here lately with her because her legs are giving out, and she still lives alone with a great-grandson that she raised. He takes care of her. He's 19 mm-hmm. years old.
And what about, so there he had a land grant then?
Oh, yes, mm-hmm. and water grants, even... when Johnson turned over some of those water rights to what Mexico did,
mm-hmm.
They read, in fact, I read in my paper that whoever had part in those grants to please get in touch with what my father didn't let my mother go. Never. So I don't know whatever happened. They still up to today. In fact, now that I went to New Mexico, I was going, but then I said, well, I don't know. I have to have a lot of evidence and proof,
mm-hmm.
I just need going up there. Because I think we still have family down there in Chihuahua that's from that family tree, from the Galindo family.
Now, what was her name?
Galindo.
Galindo. And that was your mom's father. And what about her mother? Was she Spanish too?
Yes, She was too from wealthy people.
Now, what was your mother's childhood like then? Did you ever talk much about it?
Oh, well, I think up to today she's hurt. Because she said they had so much money. And from the time that she married my dad, they just ignored her completely.
How much education did she have?
My mother? Mm-hmm. Well, she didn't have very much education at that time. And then she was married, and she had to be married and get higher education. And then the world was in such a turmoil that very few people, of course, only, like they say, that very rich. It does now the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So then in 1917, my dad's sisters had moved to California. One had been here since 1912 in Los Angeles. So then she sent for my other aunt, the one that was left, that wasn't married, that was with my mm-hmm. grandmother. She was around 12. And then they moved to California, to Los Angeles. And my dad was the only one left up there and another sister. See, that he only had one sister. The other ones were half-sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So then afterwards, my dad, well, I was born and my brother was born. And he didn't want to raise us in the same place, a minor. He wanted better education for us and better way of living. So then my aunt wrote him a letter and said, why don't you come over, brother? We have a job for you. This is a better place to raise your children, and you get away from the mines mm-hmm. if you want to see your children grow up. So then he decided to come to California. And he came first and look around, see mm-hmm. how everything was. And he liked it. So then he sent for us, and then we came to California in 1919.
Oh, let me back up a little bit, Bill, and ask, mm-hmm. when your mother decided she was going to marry your father,
mm-hmm.
and her family basically said if she did, they would disown her,
mm-hmm.
then what, that must have meant quite an abrupt change in her own life. How did she manage things? If she came from such a wealthy Spanish family, she probably wasn't used to doing anything around the house even, was she?
I know, but, you know, they used to teach the girls how mm-hmm. to do things. I mean, it's not like it is now. You know, everybody spoiled, the girls, the boys at that time. No, even if they were wealthy, mm-hmm. they still had their chores. They still were taught how to bake, how to cook. They had maids. The maids, every so many hours, they teach them how to do things. See, they were that mm-hmm. way at that time because
mm-hmm.
it's from another era
yeah.
and a different culture, you see. So she learned, and she became a good housewife and a good mother. My wife, my father, a very responsible man. He raised with 10 children,
mm-hmm.
and he raised us all without no help of any mm-hmm. kind. Because when I was growing up, there was such a social programs. Now we either work and make it, or just
mm-hmm.
so.
Now, was she very Spanish looking? Did she have blonde hair and blue eyes with the northern Spaniards, or was she dark-haired and dark-eyed?
Oh, well, they're mixed,
mm-hmm.
you see. She's olive complexion. Most Spaniards are black hair
mm-hmm.
and olive complexion. They're not dark-dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a lot of Italians. A lot of Italians are just as dark and just
right.
darker than I am, and black hair, and some are red with green eyes. So I don't think that has anything but she does look Spaniard. The minute you look at her,
uh-huh.
you can't see different features.
Uh-huh.
See, even in us, the children, we're mixed. Still, we have different features and a real Mexican.
Now, how did his family react to his marrying a white woman rather than an Indian woman?
Well, I don't know how they reacted that time, because afterwards I remember they used to go to New Mexico and wanted to visit my mother. And because at that time they used to bank in Denver, New Mexico. see, Chihuahua, where they had it was just the borderline. So every time my grandmother used to bank, well, they used to stop in to see my mother, but no money. No, my dad strictly gave orders that my mother wasn't supposed to take any money from any of her relatives. Or we weren't supposed to take anything that the grandkids from her family.
But you remember seeing your grandparents?
Like a dream. Oh. See, we came here in 1919, the early part of 1919. So I was about, 11, about 8. Mm-hmm. Right? I was about around 8 years old. And do you know I remember? There's certain things I remember like a dream. And now that I went back to New Mexico, I went and did some searching. People that still live to me, my dad and my mother. There are some. And some that are as old as I am, but to the parents, they learn the name. And and everything that I would tell them, it was, that happened, you know. And it even amazes me because I was so young.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in L.A., I remember from the first day we arrived in Los Angeles. There's not everything, but a certain thing is like a dream.
Now, do you remember going to their house, or was forbidden for parents?
No, we never did go to their house.
They would come.
No.
Your grandmother would come over. And
yes, uh-huh. They had a, they said they had a, she had a beautiful hacienda and ranches and a lot of cattle, mm-hmm. peanuts, mm-hmm. everything. They had everything. It's, when the United States, they tried to break them. They tried to take everything, which they did. A lot of cattle, and in fact, I found out in New Mexico, there's a family there that has one of the biggest dairies right there, close to where I was born, and that's where it was based. He bought a lot. Most of that cattle was from my grandfather's ranch. See, a lot of white men went over, the ones that took the best of the United States, you know. I was just reading about the Hunts, the Hunts family. And they went over there, they bought, they were going like they did in California. The Spaniards were all ready to lose everything. So the white men would come, I give you so much. And then they took everything. That's why the white men was, that's how the United States was built. The Hearst. And the Hearst owned practically half of New Mexico. I went to find out this last time, too. I took a picture in the organ that Phoebe Hearst donated to that. She built a little church. I've had a lot of history.
Yeah.
And I've read. I want to find out for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. This is the second time I've been in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I was there in 1961 for 2 weeks. But now I was there a month, and I went and I looked, and I found out a lot of things that I wanted to find out.
It sounds like even though you didn't see your mother's family, that you heard stories from her, though, about them. And
oh, yes, because my mother's sister married a commoner, too, one that used to work in the ranch, and they disowned her, too. So they went up north. They went to New Mexico, just across the line, see? And she lived there. She was older than my mother. So, and when my father married my mother, he built a house right next to hers.
A what?
To my, that's supposed to be my aunt.
Your aunt.
See? But she practically raised my mother.
Oh.
You see? So, they used to tell me a lot of stuff, especially my grandfather. In the evening, he used to sit down and he had his book. Because on my mother's side, they were all well educated, you know. I had an uncle that was a judge in Chihuahua, and, you know, they had education. So apparently this Connor married my, I call her grandma.
You call her grandmother.
Grandma, yeah. He was having an education too. He wasn't just because he used to read to us and he used to tell us about the revolution, about the background of Spain, because he was Spaniard too. He was Spaniard. He wasn't Indian like my dad. But the reason they didn't care for him because he was poor. So he used to. He was very. I think that's where I started to learn to like history, because history has been my. In school, I had my history book here while the sister, because I went to Catholic school. Was something else, and here I had my book. She called my name. I didn't even know what she was doing. And I thought, no, history fascinated me, and I like to read parts where I was involved.
Right.
See, that's what I like to read, just like in Los Angeles. Now I read about Los Angeles, that sued suitor. They're only making money with that movie and that publicity. But you know how much it hurts the Mexican people? How much it hurts the boys? I know, because I've been in Los Angeles in 1919.
Oh, wonderful. We're going to get all kinds of things from you.
Yes. And a lot of people have told me that Friday night tapes, so you can make a book with what you know.
Well, maybe when you get the tapes in this back, you can. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, what was the name of the town then where you were actually born in New Mexico?
Fierro.
Fierro.
F-I-E-R-R-O.
And you had a brother born before you?
No, I was
you
the oldest.
You were the oldest. Uh-huh. Now, what was your father's name?
Clemente.
And did you learn, we talked about you learning the stories of your mother's family. Uh-huh. Did you learn Navajo culture at all from him and his family?
No, just a little, and you know what I'd read, because I think he wanted to go to a different culture, because he figured, well, I'm an American now, and I'm going to fight. Nothing's going to stop me. But I am an American, because at that time, you know, there were a lot of prejudices about the Indians.
Mm-hmm.
About
is.
Indians. It still is, you know. And they really got a real rotten deal, my expression. So he wanted to be in America, and he made it up to the day he died. He worked hard for everything. He raised 10 children. He bought his home in L.A. He made a lot of nice friends. He was respected. And he made his dream come true.
So when you were being raised, then you did not get, you weren't told stories about his family and the Navajos, or learn about Navajo culture then?
No, not very much. Just the usual that you know. I mean, there's nothing different than nobody knows, I don't think.
And how about from your grandmother, his mother?
She never did say anything about that. I was never close to her very much. I was more close to my mother's side.
Mm-hmm.
So on the grandmother that I thought she was, because I figured she was an outcast too, and she lived right next to us. And what I am now, I owe it to her and my grandpa and my dad and a lot of nice friends, older people that I used to listen when I was young, and now I look back and I say, what they told me is what made me not old as I am, and through my life that I've had, because I don't think I ever left those values and standards that they embedded in my head. I had a little bell, I think they ring back, and there I would.
Now, what was your birth date again, September?
29, 1911.
You say that your father built a house right next to your aunt, who you think of as your grandmother. Do you remember that house at all?
Oh, yes. I went to New Mexico. I have a picture of the house. See, that house was moved after my mother left everything, house and all. I think they had the homestead that place. So she left all her furniture. She had beautiful antique. You know, she used to put in orders to New York and Chicago, so that what I see now that's really cost money, she had it, because my dad wanted her to have the best of everything. So after the house was made, then she started buying from New York and Chicago. But when we moved, she left everything, because my grandma lived next door.
Oh, I see.
And my grandfather, he was a custodian in the school, and then he passed away. I think he passed away in 1931. And my grandma was alone. She didn't know what to do, so she left everything behind and she came with us to California. Well, she didn't stay here very long. She went back to Chihuahua because she had a brother over there that was well-to-do, so she went to live with him, and he passed, and she passed away in Chihuahua. Uh-huh.
Can you describe the house for me? Now, they homestead the land.
Yeah, I think so. I didn't inquire about anything about the house, and then my dad didn't, he didn't either. He was so busy raising a family that friction that was there, why he just wanted to have a new start some other place and forget about the past. Because he didn't want to interfere with my mother's family at all.
Now, did he ever see them when they would come over to
see
your mother?
Oh, yes, uh-huh.
They wouldn't leave the house if he was there.
No. They would talk, but he couldn't speak the way they spoke. He couldn't speak Spanish. So my mother said whenever they used to come, well, he used to go out, to the mountains and walk up in the mountains because he couldn't understand. See? He spoke Navajo and then he spoke English, and that's all he spoke after that. Then he learned Spanish afterwards with my mother.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the house they spoke with each other, they spoke English, though, even after he learned Spanish?
It was mixed, because not when I was born, when I started going to school, they still wanted me to teach me the culture and the background on both sides, but I did mostly the Spanish side.
Mm-hmm.
See, I mean, it's just what they told, but there were no Indian teachers,
no.
There was nothing, no books, no nothing.
Did you learn Navajo from him at all? Did you learn anything?
No, because he didn't speak. He forgot his language afterwards,
uh-huh.
Only when he had to, or, when somebody told him that, oh, you are Mexican. Well, he didn't insult him whenever they say that. I'm not. I'm an Indian. I'm an American. He was so proud of that. I put those.
Have you read this book? Los Angeles, you want